This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Greetings, and welcome to today's broadcast. This is Sound the Shofar for a Friday, and it is the 18th all day. And a lot of things going on, but let me tell you that the reading for this week, Exodus 13, 17 through 17:16, Judges 4:4 through 5:31, Matthew 26, 1 through 75, and John 6, 22 through 40. Some of the recent articles that I have on our site, the DanaGlennSmith.com site, Warn-USA.com, I encourage you to read these and to pass these on. And these are in-depth. Always have a purpose. The first one is deceitfulness, discernment, and decision. And with today's society being full of deceitfulness, well, you need true discernment. And I talk about this, and it's one that you need to read. Light, righteousness, and cesspools, that's about where we're at. The Bible says, you know, sin and iniquity will abound, and the love of many will wax cold. This looks at light, righteousness, and cesspools, and it looks at the end of days. Time, season, and God's secrets, that's another one that you need to read. I have a lot of these. I put them on regular. I've got everything over on our warn-usa.com site for all of our audios and everything like that for the shows. Today we are in Timothy, the last one, the last chapter, not Timothy, but Titus, and we're in Philemon. Last night we were in Revelation. We did Revelation 11. Now, just a little bit about what's going on in America. Of course, it's a mess. Matter of fact, you could probably, you know, if you're a liberal, you know, and I suppose there are some people in the Republican Party and others. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. I don't go by that nonsense. Nevertheless, you know, what we have today with this shutdown, you know, there's no words to describe it. Of course, the bottom line of it is that if you check out a lot of the places that needed walls, like Israel and others, you found out that the wall came in mighty handy. Pelosi and Schumer and the Democrats have backed walls before. They okayed a bunch of money for a Jordanian wall to go up, a border wall. Yet they can't pony up any money for... you know, they're willing to give billions away and millions and billions away to foreign governments and help other people. On their committees, they're willing to put radical anti-Semites and appoint them to these committees. The party that is in the House now, the Democrats led by Pelosi or Schumer, are some of the most liberal abortionists you're going to find. And so the fight has been on, the ACLJ, and of course there was a big a pro-life movement going on. Pence was speaking there. Franklin Graham spoke out about it. We're pro-life. I'm pro-life. And that's just the way the Bible is, and I believe the Bible points that out. And we're murdering babies. Actually, you're sacrificing them to Baal, just like... when we read in the Old Testament that they passed their children through fire unto Baal, well, there's no greater fire than to be in the womb and have some doctor or somebody else poke you with something or squirt you full of stuff that'll tear you apart. And, of course, they don't recognize the science that you're a baby. And so even Obama was late-term abortion. So it's a bunch of nonsense is what it is. And the only reason, you know, for instance, you don't have a wall, the reason you have a shutdown is because Pelosi and Schumer and the Democrats hate Trump so much. We have everybody from Cher to you name it that are shooting their mouth off and are being livid. And a major newspaper came out yesterday and said that we need to impeach him. You know, Jane Fonda said we need to put a wall around him. You know, I mean, stuff like this. I mean, but if you look at what's going on in the White House, you know, before Trump took office, there was Christians around him who actually led him to the Lord. Pence verified this. Pence is a Christian, glad to stand up for his faith and even take heat. There's prayer going on, you know, in the cabinet, prayer going on in the White House. This did not happen in previous administrations like this. It did not happen in Obama's time. So the whole thing is about how much they hate Trump. And even Judge Jeanine was talking about this. I happened to see a short clip over on Instagram. The bottom line of it is that this is nonsense. There's nothing you're going to do about it. They're, you know, we're in a society today that's divided, a society that's divided. And I actually prophesied about this during the great summer eclipse about a year or two ago, and because of the division and how it covered. Now, there is another eclipse coming. And this is called the Wolf. It's the Wolf Moon, and it's because it's the first such eclipse. You know, the first full moon. I think it is, if I remember right. It comes from the Indians. They call it a Wolf Moon, the first full moon of the new year, and it's also a Blood Moon, meaning it's going to be really close, closer than it's ever been. And of course, the way this eclipse is going to happen, it's going to turn blood red again. And whenever you see a lot of this stuff going on, we're in prophetic end of days. There's no doubt about it. And you can't try to make logic out of what's going on in D.C. at all, especially with the Democrats who absolutely refuse to do anything, even though they've supported walls before. They absolutely lividly hate Trump, and they just soon see the nation go to hell as try to get anything fixed. There are Republicans and there are some liberal Democrats, I mean newly elected Democrats, that came in that actually want to sit down with Trump. I don't know how that's going to work out, but if you believe in prayer, then you better lift him up. You better lift up this situation because it is an hour of darkness. I can tell you that if you get in there and you let the Democrats, once they take over the presidency, the Senate and the House, and keep their open borders, you might as well completely kiss this country goodbye, because there's not going to be much left, because they are so far to the left, farther than any other Democratic Party has ever been there before. These are by far some of the worst. Even though I read an article that said that Pelosi was not one of the most radical of the Democrats, yet she's pretty radical. And that's all of the political speak for now. But we have to cover this stuff because this is exactly where we're at. We're in a mess. And I go from day to day looking to the Lord. I don't spend my time going through all the moronic news. I don't read the Washington Post. I don't pay attention to what they say. I don't pay attention to what ABC, NBC, CBS, you know, CNN and these other dog heap journalists do, because they're not like a true journalist is. They are modernly taught. They are selfish, self-centered, and they are they point to their own agendas. We have the same thing happening with a lot of the techies and Silicon Valley, you know, and they're all anti-Christ, anti-God, many of them. They want a secular, globalist society. They want open borders, and when they get done letting everybody in, they're also going to be regretting it, because there's going to be all kinds of enemies that are in here willing to destroy this country. They'll be in the same or worse mess than is in the EU right now and the UK. Right now, you know, ISIS is still recruiting, and we thought they were defeated. The Christians around the world are finding themselves totally persecuted. China has changed its face back to communism, red communists, and they're throwing Wang Yi and a bunch of other top leaders of the Christian churches in jail. They've already threw them there, they sent others to education camps, a big crackdown there. You look in Nigeria, the Fulani radical Islamists, they're killing Christians right and left there. You look into Egypt, General Sisi has built a huge church out in the middle of the desert for Christians and told them they had to move because he shut down four other churches because of the radicals that showed up in northern Egypt and threatened to destroy them all. So this thing is going around. We find country after country, you know, that is closed. And matter of fact, even Russia is closed to Christianity, into basic Christianity, because Putin came out a couple years ago and forbid even speaking about your church or your faith unless it's okayed by the Russian government. And then you get over and in China, as I said, they're cracking down. You have Erdogan, who's been cracking down. He's creating a caliphate. This is where Pastor Brunson was imprisoned, and he was released. There's another pastor who was actually kicked out of the country, and his family is still in the country. He can't even get to him. And, you know, this was as of a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what his situation is now. Couldn't even talk to him. Iran's the same way. They've been rounding up Christians right and left. We have this reports coming in from around the globe. And, of course, you know, there's been a number of ministries and others that have been reporting on how this thing is going, and this thing is not going good. You know, but there is good news in all this, because there are Muslims and others that are coming to faith, and we report on this regularly. This is a battle of light and darkness, and we need America to stay going for a while, but it's in the hands of the Lord. And nothing's going to happen to America until the good Lord decides that it's going to happen, no matter how many Democrats we have in charge. No matter what they're doing up there, however, it can cause trouble, and they can try to make their plots and stuff. But if God wills that we get through this and, everything works out, I mean, make no mistake about it. The ACLJ is making inroads against Planned Parenthood and the abortion issues. There's been a lot of inroads made against abortions and the free abortions, a lot of other things. There is a whole generation of young Christians growing up, according to a number of sources. And there's many of them, and even Donald Trump Jr. was talking about this, because he was one of the main speakers with them, of a lot of conservative young Republicans and others who were coming up and willing to take the challenge and get this country back to where it was. Trump being in there has just absolutely lit the fires of those that absolutely hate Christianity, conservatism. They want a lot of things that we don't agree with. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with what Obama did, the Democrats, their platforms. I am not pro-abortion. You know, I think we're a heathen nation. We're godless. We do have Christians in here, and we do have some hope going on, but I'm telling you that unless this nation really fights, unless the Christians really get up there and get going and moving their prayer, their hearts and everything that you can to pray and get in there, because there's people that are fighting for you and they're on the front line. And I'm telling you that if you sit there in your churches and you sit still and you shut up, then you're going to find yourself just like it is in communist China and other places, because if you don't think America will get there, you are nuttier than a fruitcake. I can tell you firsthand from tracing this thing and watching this for 21 years, I can tell you from the fact that I know absolutely what the Lord told me about 40, 50 years ago when I had those visions. I can tell you absolutely, positively where we're headed. But in all of this, we're also headed to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're headed to his kingdom. He is going to be the judge. But until then, you and I have to stand up, because we've got brothers and sisters in the Lord that need help around the world. And a lot of that help is coming from the free Western countries and the Christian countries in America, the UK, and other places. And they, if darkness succeeds in squelching the Christian voice, conservatism, and being able to stand up for what is right, then we have gone to hell in a handbasket and there is no hope left. The next step is judgment. And you do not want that. Not now. So you need to stand up. And I'm going to tell you that a lot of this is in the hands of the believers to stand up. The Lord isn't just going to save America just because it's America. If you want this country and if you want it to be righteous and be here for your children, you need to stand up and be counted. I'm calling out the Christians. I'm calling out the conservatives. I'm calling you out. And don't worry about your denominations. Throw the denominational bull away. And I said bull, because if you were in the Middle East, if you've been where we have been covering for these many years, you're going to find out the enemies of the cross could care less whether you're a Presbyterian, a Catholic. They don't even care if you're a Mormon. They don't care what you are. If you go to a church, if you look like you belong to anything related to Christ, and if you're unwilling to repeat and become a Muslim, well, they're going to kill you. You're an enemy. That's it, period, blank. So we're going to move on. And within all of this, we are in Titus 3:1. And, of course, in Titus 3:1, it says, "Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, be ready to do every good work." And he told them that in order to get them to get along and to live a quiet and peaceful life. But see, we are also warned, and even Paul warned about this when he talked about the end of days, that they will be despisers of those that are good. We know very well that sin and iniquity will abound, and the love of many will wax cold. There are so many things that are happening now. So when you look at Titus 3:1, it doesn't mean you're just going to sit on your butt in your church and do nothing. That you're just going to sit there and say, well, that's what the law is. No, that's a bunch of baloney. Because if you read, for instance, in China, and I told you earlier, Wang Yi, and he had quite a few others who openly signed it and signed their names when China started coming out with this. And they said, we're not going to obey when the laws of man invade and take over the territory of the laws of God. We'll obey the laws of God. They didn't want them in their churches. They didn't want them to hold church. There was no singing. There's a lot of things. And we see this going on around the world. Everybody's going to have to take the side. You're going to be subjected to the side. You know, either it's right or it's wrong, righteous or unrighteous, for Christ or against Christ. And the governments of men are gathering steam right now, and many of them, and we find this in the UK, we see this in the EU, we see it in our own Congress, and that's why we're so divided. This whole world is becoming divided, and it's getting ready for the dark one. So while we say, yeah, we want to obey and we want to do this, and we do it, we do want to be law-abiding, but when the laws violate the laws of God, we don't obey the laws of man. And that's why you and I live in America. We have a chance to change this. And very well, we know what Trump's done up there. He wasn't up there to make friends. He's up there to make changes, and he has. Matter of fact, the factories and the production in the factories is one of the highest it's ever been, and they expected it to be down. Time and time again, we see results of what this guy's been doing up there, but they absolutely, positively hate him. And, of course, he's up there, and, you know, he's not a politician. He don't care. And he's not a perfect man. He's just up there doing a job. And I believe that, you know, that God put him in there for that reason. I also believe God put in Obama, and I believe God put in Obama as an act of judgment. You know, and God will do that. He will put these people in here to stir you up. And he's stirred this country up. He put Obama in, stirred up the conservatives. Then he put in Trump and stirred up the liberals. And now, you know, he's shaking all things, which he said he would. Titus 3:2, he says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle and showing all meekness unto all men. And see, that's true. But when you live in a society that all we see is people speaking evil, and we have it in the airwaves, we have people that are on TV that call themselves reporters, they look in the camera and they have no qualms at all about saying absolutely virulent things about President Trump. No respect, nothing whatsoever. And so we see this thing just, you know, absolutely even. Now, of course, Obama, he would smile on the camera, and he would, but see, he did all his changes in silent, in the back, where you never knew it. And that's why that we've traced a lot of things from the IRS that targeted Christian nonprofits to a lot of other things going on, including suits against Christians by the LGBTQ, and you know, and it was almost always in favor of the LGBTQ. Well, things have turned around, mainly because of Trump, and he's appointed a bunch of judges that aren't like the other judges. So, you know, the bottom line of it is, this is a battle of evil. And so when we read Timothy, you know, they lived in the Roman Empire that was wicked, absolutely wicked completely. It was, you know, but it had some good points. You know, it did have a governance. It had roads that you could, you know, travel on. It had an army to protect you. It you know, the Roman Empire wouldn't forbid, you know, when it conquered people, if they would agree to pay a tribute to Rome and get along and mind, they would allow them to rule, to be there and live. And so the Roman Empire grew under that formula. And so Paul and the apostles wanted the Christians to live in it, to get along, and to be quiet and not cause a lot of problems. But most of the problems came because they were Christians. Because eventually, even the very things that the apostles taught and the churches tried to follow did not do any good. Because we saw 10 major persecutions against Christians in the Roman Empire. And the Christians were slaughtered. They were led, thrown to the lions. They were pulled apart by elephants. And et cetera, et cetera. And of course, they had to go underground. And we've seen that in history. And so while we try to do it, and I can tell you, there's Christians that follow this exact same thing, and they followed it in Iraq, they followed it in Libya, they followed it in Syria, they followed it in Nigeria. Around the world we see it, but what do these Christians get? Like the Christians in the Coptics that are living in Egypt and in northern Egypt, they lost their churches, they lost their homes, either stay in their homes, but if they wanted to go to the church, they had to go out in the middle of the desert, which was nowhere near where they lived. We saw through Syria and Iraq, we saw, especially in Iraq, 80% of the Christians who are not there anymore. They lost their homes, and if they stayed, many of them got killed and murdered, and the women got raped. They were sold into sex as sex slaves. So I'm trying to tell you something. It's okay to get along and to be no brawlers, but there comes a time, and the Lord said it, if they persecute you in this area, go to another area. You're supposed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You're not just supposed to go to that church all the time at the same time. He didn't tell you to go to that church at 11 o'clock on the same day, you know, every day. Well, you know, the bad guy's going to say, well, we missed him this Sunday at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever it is. We'll just be back here next time. They know where you're going to be. But in Africa, we've heard reports from the native pastors down there who didn't tell anybody where they were going to have church. They didn't speak it. They prayed it. And those who wanted to be would fast and pray, and they heard from the Lord, and they would show up. And the pastor that told a particular person of whom was telling me this, that was there, he said that he told him that, he said, when they showed up, he said, they knew that they would be all right. because they heard it from the Lord. So there's some things you have to understand. In the middle of all this, the Lord is moving, and he is moving. And we get reports all the time of the Lord intervening, of even the enemies of God becoming repentant and coming to the Lord. In verse 3 of Titus, he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another." That's the way we used to be. That's our other, you know, that's what the flesh used to be before we came to know the Lord. But all things became new. And Paul says, we want to get along with him as best we can. We want to win them to the Lord, because we were just like them, you know. But he went in detail, listing all these things. But you know, God has to change the hearts of men. He has to change the hearts of Pelosi and Schumer and others. He has to change the hearts of the ISIS fighter and others. You know, if some of them at all can be redeemed, since some of them did such horrendous things. Titus 3:4, "But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared," and of course that's where it was, "not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." This is the supernatural move of God. Christ himself saying that he went to his own and they received him not, but to as many as did receive him, to them gave he the, listen to this, power. Of course, the words that we see in the New Testament is the word dunamis, power and might in action, he gave them that power to become the children of God. You know, and these children are not born by the flesh, the works of men, but by the Holy Ghost. And John 3 tells us that you must be born again of the Spirit. And this is what Paul is talking about to Titus. We weren't saved because we were righteous. His mercy, which came out of his love, his mercy gave us an avenue to believe, which was faith. And it actually came originally from God when he was dealing with Abraham. And Abraham believed God, and it was appointed unto him for righteousness' sake. This is the same thing. And so this was to be given to all Gentiles and even to the Jews. Just simply believe and accept him, and you will find that mercy, the washing of the regeneration. This is the move of God within your spirit to cleanse you. And the Lord talks about this in metaphorical terms. They're true, but he tries to illustrate it in stories, saying the strong man must be bound, and you come in and you sweep it out. That's what he does, the regeneration. He removes all this stuff. Paul says, you know, you all things become new. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And we see this time and time and time again with people that come to the Lord. We did a testimony on Wednesday night's broadcast of a former porn queen who is one of the most successful that's ever been there. A young woman who was given over, instead of being happy because she had so much money, she was miserable and tried to commit suicide. And in the middle of the suicide, she heard a voice that said, "Turn on the light, put down that the scissors," which she was trying to cut her wrists and die. And so she did. She said that if I hadn't heard that voice, she says, I would have died. I would have killed myself. I was that miserable. It even touches me now. See, this is what God does. Over these years, dear God in heaven, and this is what David Wilkerson seen and others, they get on the street, they see, you know, homosexuals, lesbians, they see alcoholics, drug addicts, thievers, liars, stealers, just everything, totally become new through the washing of the regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. You're not saved by your own power. You're not saved by the will of man. You're not saved by all these things that these churches do. You're saved through the power of God. You're kept by the power of God. And he says, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his faith, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's where we're headed. We don't want this old world anyway. But we do want America to stick around long enough so we can help the brethren out, because this is where we can send it out from. America has always been the bulwark and the foundation of missionaries and care. Europe during World War II wouldn't even been built without America's money and might and help. Dear God in heaven, Japan either. Oh, God Almighty. You don't understand what God did to this nation. He blessed it, and then we turned in his face and went our own ways, and we can find the same thing with Israel. But you see, we're headed to a new kingdom. That's where our hope is. It's not in America, not in the world, it's in the Lord. But we're here right now, we got children right now, and until the Lord comes, and if he's going to tarry, we need America to be what America was. And we need to get rid of this filth. We need to turn this thing around, and you need to stand up. We either turn it around or we die trying. Because they're going to end up oppressing you and killing you anyway. You need to stand up, and I mean it in Jesus' name. Titus 3:8, and I'll tell you, all this stuff in Titus is just great stuff for the beginning Christian to read, to understand. Because this is not meat, folks. This is milk. He's given Titus the milk of the word. The meat of the word, I'll tell you, the meat of the word. And the Lord got right to the meat of the word. He says that if you don't take up your cross and follow him, you're not worthy of him. I've come not to bring peace to the earth, but a sword. There are some things that are, you know, when you get into it, it's meat, baby. It takes you a little bit of chewing and pondering and understanding. Christ didn't come to make peace with the devil. He came to defeat the devil and every principality and power that's against God Almighty. And I mean it. And every person, every man, woman, whoever they are, whatever age, you're going to have to make a decision eventually. You're either for God through Christ or you're against him. And that's the bottom line. And they think that they can control the internet, that they can control all these things, but in the end, they can't control anything. Because I can tell you, the internet itself is probably one of the worst things that has ever been put out. The technology that we have today is probably the worst stuff we've ever had. Why? Because it's made us into different kinds of human beings. We live in neighborhoods where we don't even talk to one another. We live with children who spend more time on the phone looking at a smartphone than they do looking at their own parents. They will listen to someone on the smartphone, on the internet, in a chat, and they will consider that the truth, and then when their parent tries to tell them the truth, they will yell and scream and call them liars. We have this, and we have relationships in this world that are built on phoniness. It's built on this same idea. Much of your kids were raised up doing 143 characters on Twitter, then they expanded it to 280. Now it's 280 characters. Dear God in heaven, nobody knows what proper English is. Nobody knows what etiquette is. Nobody knows how to just be nice to someone, open the door, give someone a break. If you're opposed to what they're saying, you know, just disagree agreeably. But no, we hate, we're vile, we're filthy. We just castigate one another and slay each other with our words. We see it online all the time, and it makes it easy to do that. Anybody can stand up and say stuff. ISIS was slaughtering people and holding up the dead bodies of little boys and girls, and it got on YouTube and other places until they stopped it. But that still made the rounds because they still put it up. God help us. And you wonder why Christ has come again. It says, unless the Lord comes, there will be no flesh left alive. We're supposed to be the top of the species, but we act like we're the bottom of the species. Man, I've seen jackasses that roam the fields that have more sense than what we have today. Dear God in heaven, help us. And he's going to say, I've had enough, just like in the time of Noah. It repented God that he had made man. Dear God in heaven, one day he's going to look down at this country. If we don't change the world, he says, it's time, son, get down there. Because if we don't do it now, there ain't going to be one person left, because they're going to kill them all. Oh, God help us. I do not like this. I do not like having to say these things. But when the fire of God gets in my heart, I have to tell you what he wants me to say. Help us. This is a faithful saying, and these things I wilt, that thou confirm consistently, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And they are. We don't do it. You know, the society doesn't do it. And the internet don't do it. And, you know, the internet is not a moral compass. But what it does do is reveal what society is like. You need to put down the technology, the computers and the smartphones, and spend some good family time together. You know, in the park, in the mountains, hunting, fishing, whatever do, whatever you do, just go do it with your family and enjoy family. And when you get on the internet, bide your time. Now, folks, I've been on the internet for a long time. I was in this neck of the woods. I had a computer when most people were just starting out. I was online. A long time ago, God called me out, and I knew I was going to be doing this online, because I wanted to get the word around the world, and we've managed to do that. And on our websites, we've had people from literally every nation on the face of this earth. We have friends to this day, right now, this hour, that are around the world that listen to us. And that would never have been possible without the internet. Before the internet, you know, I mean, I've been on satellite, I've been on shortwave. And we've had some of these broadcasts that went over on the radio. In the old time days, we didn't do it like we do it today. It's a lot easier. You'd have to broadcast it on a cassette and then mail the cassette to the people who were going to be putting the program on. Totally in the dark ages from where we are today. But make no mistake, the internet and all of the technology and everything is not your friend. And especially if you're thinking of robotics and everything that goes with robots and super soldiers and all this other stuff they're talking about, God, there ain't going to be enough left to mankind, I can tell you. What happened to him? Why is that guy out there killing everybody? I thought you told me that he was one of the top of the line robotic soldiers and he's killing our own men. Well, you know, I think we didn't get the update on him the way we should have. I mean, he's supposed to auto-update, but you know, when that software goes in there and if, you know, anything can go wrong. Just one little line of code. Well, why didn't you tell me that before? Well, you know, I never thought of it. It's been going good. We've never had this problem. Well, now you have the problem. How are you going to stop him? Nobody can stop him. He's a super soldier. He's killing your own men. Even a tank, you know, I mean, he can just jump right around it. I mean, what do you do? See, it's a nightmare scenario. But thank God we got a God that can stop everything. Paul goes on to say, but avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Now, of course, that's where the circumcision came in. That's the Jews. And they came in and caused trouble. And there was a lot of them that believed in Yeshua, Jesus. But they believed also that he didn't go far enough and didn't believe that the apostles went far enough. They believed that they had to get the believing Gentiles, because they were doing some of the same things that the Jews were doing. They had to become circumcised, and they had to follow the things of the law that they did, which was totally wrong. And, of course, you know, it doesn't mean that the law is outdated. It just means the way the Jews were trying to tell the Gentiles to do it. We're not justified by the law. We're justified by faith in Christ. And, of course, that's what God had put down for this covenant. But yet the law is very much alive. And the law is, you know, the law tells us, you know, like Paul said, the law is for the wicked. It's not for the righteous. It's for the wicked. But yet that law, you know, if you break the law, you will be judged by it. Paul goes on to say, a man that is a heretic, a schismatic, somebody who divides after the first and second admonition, reject. This is someone that doesn't want to follow you know, what the rest of the people were doing. Well, today they just make another denomination. They create another church. I mean, that's been going on though for probably 1,000 years, 1,500 years at least. We've been doing that in America. We've been doing it ever since that. Well, it was that way before we ever, you know, truly became a nation. We had a bunch of different denominations here. Knowing that he that is such is subverted or perverted, and he will subvert or pervert people. He will, it's like the blind leading the blind. And of course,
I just seen your note.
And any rate, when we get right into it, he closes us out. When I shall send Artemis to thee, or Tychus, be diligent to come unto me, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. He goes on to say, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. And all that are with me salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith, grace be unto you, amen. Now see, that closing is typical of a lot of the end of the epistles. And it's very, very important to understand that this gives you an insight of the camaraderie, the personal. You know, I mean, you couldn't just jump in a car, you couldn't call them on the phone, you couldn't get on the internet, everything had to be done, but it was just a fellowship. And you can see the concern and, and of course it took them a while to get these letters from one to another, but that's how they would communicate. If they wanted to go anywhere across the water, they had to take a ship, you know. I mean, these letters must have been really comforting, especially when they got towards the end, you know, because it's like after the apostle gets done teaching or whatever it is he's saying, you know, it's just like he says, well, you know, I love you. You know, this is what I need you to do. You know, he reveals this inner working of concern and compassion to them, and they can surely feel that. And of course, we go into Philemon, which is a short letter, and he begins at Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved. And of course, Paul was, and he was told he had to appear before kings, and he had to go to Rome, and he had to appear before Caesar. And so he is in a private place under house arrest. He was able to minister for a couple of years there, and people came and go, came and went. It actually was really good because nobody could touch him or stop him there. You know, he was under the protection of the Caesar. He was under house arrest, and he was released after that, and then he went out, and then, of course, persecution began again, and he was again arrested, and that time he lost his life. And, of course, Timothy was a great big great part of this ministry. And, of course, this has Timothy tied to it because, the letter is written to Philemon, who is a fellow laborer and dearly beloved. And he goes on to say, and to our beloved Apphia, Archippus, and our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. And grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you also always see that uniting for all of those modern preachers that want to separate the Son of God from the Father. Everywhere you look in the New Testament, in the epistles from these guys, it had the Father and the Son connected. He goes on to say, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, see, we know of Philemon that he was a brother in Christ. He had people there that were fellow soldiers along with him. They had a church there they recognized the Father and the Son because that was the greeting they were given. He had heard of their love and their faith and how that they loved the Lord Jesus and all the saints. I mean, this is a true bond that Paul is expressing here. And he also named Timothy. And these are would have been two people that this guy would have known. And it goes on to say that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. And that's what a church is. When you have someone that's the leader of that and they have a church, is to refresh one another. And he says, wherefore though? And of course, this changes the tone. He begins it acknowledging who he is, that he knows him and he loves him. But he says, because of all these things, because of who you are, because I know that you love the Lord, because you love the saints, he's going to be bold here. So he says, because of these things, wherefore? Because of these things, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee, which is convenient, that which is convenient. So he's going to address him with an issue. That's the thing. He says, I need to talk to you about something. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, this is writing. It has Paul in it, and it also has Timothy. And of course, when we get down here, and it was written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus, a servant. But see, within here, we find the fact that, of course, Paul is not right. And this was pretty much the way it was, that he would actually speak this and someone would write it while they're listening, like a scribe. And I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in the time past which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Now thou therefore receive him, that is my own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. We've got to read these in order to get down to it. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and the Lord. Now see, this is Rome. Having a servant, or a slave rather, you know, is one of those things. You know, he was working in the household. He disappeared and wound up with Paul and ministered to Paul. And he probably had heard Paul, probably on a visit with Paul or Timothy, when they were over there and they were talking to him, you know, Philemon. They got to know him, and somewhere along the line, Onesimus heard the message, became a Christian, and he eventually ran away thinking that he had to do something. So he ministered to Paul, and he was used by Paul. Of course, he helped Paul, and Paul gave this letter, and Onesimus wrote it down and then carried it back to him. And of course, in the letter, he tells Philemon to receive him. He's not just a servant, but he's a brother to you. He's not a slave. He's not this. He's a brother to you. And he says, if thou therefore count me a partner, receive him as myself. So he said, receive him as you would receive me, Paul. If he's wronged you, Philemon, if he's wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. This is Paul. And he says, I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Howbeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest me seven, even thine own self besides. And I like this because he says, you put it on my account. And he says, I've written it. I will repay it to you if you want it. But he says, howbeit I do not say to thee, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny. Well, I'm not going to tell you this, that you really owe me this. But see, in the process of saying that he's not going to say it, he has to tell him what he's not going to say. So he tells him anyway in a way that says, I'm not really telling you this, but you know that you owe your own self, your own life to me. I mean, it's a way of telling them something without them even knowing that they've been told anything, but they, well, yeah, I know what you're talking about, you know, so they're not so bad. Now, if he would have just says, well, you need to do this because after all, I've saved you time and time again, and you'd better do this because you owe me or I'm going to call it in on you. No, see, he didn't do that. He did this with respect and love to a brother. He says, yea, brother, let me have the joy of thee in the Lord and refresh my bowels in the Lord. He says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. See, he knew that, he knew, and he knows that he will do this, and he will be more than willing to do this. He goes on to say, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust through your prayers that I shall be given to you. Now see, he's in prison, but he wants to, he's expecting to be released so he can come to Philemon. He wants to go there. He says, there salute thee Epaphras, he is from Colossae, Colossians 4:12, a servant in labor, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Now see, I love this because this again shows you the people that were with him and fellow laborers. He just didn't travel alone. He had a group of people, people that were always around, and wherever he went, these were probably people that are already, mentioned that were around him in the area of Rome when he was in prison. They could have been following him, but he always had these people around him, so he always made a difference to mention it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And it was written to Rome, written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus, a servant. And Paul gave it to Onesimus. Onesimus grabbed the thing and had to go back to his boss, back to the one who where he was. And so he went back. And, we have, there's an epistle of Pliny that had something similar to this. I'm not going to read it because, we want to just stick with the main word. But at any rate, I like these things. They're personable. And the fact that in the Roman Empire, we have a lot today about slavery. But see, the scripture all the way from the Old Testament to the New has slavery mentioned. And the Jews weren't even supposed to keep slaves of fellow Jews, but in the end they did keep that. They were allowed to keep a Gentile slave. But nevertheless, if you get in the New Testament, the whole of the New Testament was written during the time of slavery, every bit of it. And you find very little about slavery mentioned in any of it except for this one letter where we have Philemon and he calls him a servant. We've all always seen Philemon as a runaway slave who had come to know the Lord through Paul. And he went to Paul to minister to him, and Paul let him stay for a while and then sent him back with a letter because he knew who Philemon was and that he was a godly man and that he would be okay with it. So with that, we're going to get out here because we're adjusting our programs according to the length of the study. This is the Watchman and for Tower. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. God bless. Good night. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.